Last week, we looked at the manifestation of God, the introduction to the book of the Epistle to John, and we saw the manifestation of God and how John experienced that incarnation. He witnessed it, and he declared it, and he really penned it, and we saw the whole purpose of it is that we might have fellowship and that our joy might be full, that his joy was full, and that he so rejoiced as we followed, as you look at his joy, because we are in Christ, and since we are in Christ, we get everything that Christ gets. That's quite a truth, isn't it? And he's the one that has made that great exchange so that we are capable, that enables us to do that. And so we are coming to the rest of the chapter. We see the message in verse 5, and then of course the mannerisms of living a walk for God. And so we want to look at that and see what we have this morning. But I'd like to start out with a word of prayer here. I'm having a few distractions here this morning, and so I want to just have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for who you are, and I do pray that you'll take any distractions away, that you'll help me to concentrate, and that we'll look at truth, and that will receive the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The message of God, verse number 5. The message of God. As we look at this message, we realize that the opening of phrase, as we look at verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we've heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him there's no darkness." He goes on further then, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and we don't, we're walking in darkness. We're going to look at that in the weeks to come. But this morning, as we just take a review of that, we might realize that the opening phrase of verse 5 marks the close connection with this section with the beginning. Notice it says, "This then is the message," or "this is the message." We could almost put it in there, "therefore." But this is the message, of which he talked about the incarnation. So he's bringing all of that. This is the message. And notice it says that that the apostles, John himself and the apostles, we talked about that last week. And we see then that there's a close connection with the section and the reality of Christian fellowship then that's announced in verse 3 is now developed as the first test to establish Christian assurance. It's that fellowship that you have with Christ and with one another is a test of that assurance of Jesus Christ in your heart. And so John begins with a declaration of the very nature of God as the valid basis for our fellowship here in verse 5. And then in verses 6 through 10, he sets forth false views of sin as hindrances to that fellowship, and how they need to be corrected. He goes, the basis of fellowship, we see the message here. He is the light and there's no darkness. Then he goes and shows what the hindrances are to that fellowship, which we'll be looking in weeks to come, and then in specifics. And then he declares in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he declares the divine provision for maintaining that fellowship with God. So we see the basis of it. We then see the hindrances of having, how does that fellowship with God be broken, and then how we can maintain it. And so in this passage of Scripture, we've got to realize that God cannot condone or have fellowship with anything that is contrary to his nature. You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior this morning. You have repented of your sin and realized you needed a Savior and that the Son of God came and paid for your sin and had that great exchange for you so that the wrath of God was appeased because of that perfect sacrifice. And you've asked him as your Lord and personal Savior, and you automatically are into a body of Christ where there's fellowship, and you can have fellowship one with another. But that fellowship is of a broken fellowship. That relationship is strained when we sin, because God cannot condone or have fellowship with anything that's contrary to his nature. He is holy. He is holy, and he just doesn't tolerate sin. He's just, and so he can't overlook that sin. And so we realize that this message has not been subject to change and modification because it did not originate from John or any of the apostles. Where did it originate from? Read it again with me. This then, which they already gave the message and where it was from, this then is the message, here's the message, which we have what? Heard, and notice it says, which we have heard of who? Who's him? Christ. We've heard of him. We learned that all last week, how they traveled with him, and all they were there with the miracles and all the preachings and the teachings. And it says that ye've heard of him, and then it says, we declare it unto who? You. Are you included in that? Yes, you are. We have God's word. He's talking about believers. And then he gives them the very nature and norm of God. The very nature and norm of God. And that is this. He is light. And in him, there's no darkness. And so what I see in this passage of Scripture, really in verse 5, I see it broken up in three ways. I see, first of all, its criteria, that source and the specifics of it. We've heard of him. The commission is they declared it. We have declared it unto you. And then the content of that message, which God is light, and in him there's no darkness. So briefly this morning, as we open the pages of Scripture, let us look at, first of all, that criteria where it says we have heard. It's in the perfect tense, we want to remind you. So there's a past event that is impacting in the present. And so he's saying, we have heard. It underlines the abiding impact of the specific message that they've heard of who? Of him. And they're saying that this is an impact in their lives. And now, because it's impacted them, we are declaring it to you. The word declaring there is a present, active, indicative, which has the idea of it's constantly, it's factual, it's active. We are actively declaring unto you, all of you, this message that's of him. It's for you sitting there that know Christ is your Savior. That he's actively saying to us this morning, here's the message. And he says, here's the message. God is light, and in him there's no darkness. We realize, since it's from him, it's a revelation, and it's not a discovery of John or the apostles. It's a revelation directly from God, manifested through who? Jesus Christ, very Son of God. You see, it's not John who's created this message. John has not really committed God to the way of truth, but rather he's announced like a herald this good news about God, which God himself has already made known. God has spoken for himself, as we've learned in these first few verses, that God is life and God is light, the word of life. And so the message is very, very important for us this morning, that God is light because of what? Are you sleeping out there? Because God is what? Read it. Let's do it all out loud. So let's try to wake up a little bit. The message there, is so important because of the source is from God. And what's the message then? God is what? And in him, no darkness. To disregard John's message then is to disregard Christ. To disregard this message that God is light and him is no darkness is disregard Christ. And he's saying that we've heard of him, so all the words of Christ and his life and his character, to disregard that in your life and say, well, yeah, that's good for others. Or I'm fine with this, but you know I have problems with this. You're disregarding Christ. This is a message from God himself to the manifestation of the very Son of God. So God speaks, and man must listen obediently because this is the message from him that we've heard. And so let's look at that content. His nature. Do you know in Scripture that this declaration needs to be really paralleled or put together with a couple other things of his nature? Notice he says here that God is light. Notice, and we'll get a little bit later, probably mention it, he hasn't become light. He is light. And it needs to be compared with the declarations that John made elsewhere in this gospel and in the first epistle. And in John 4:24, he says, God is what? God is spirit. And then 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, God is what? Love. So we see the three things of God right here, just very simple character traits, that God is spirit, and so we worship him in spirit and in truth. God is light, which we're going to look at this morning and in the next few weeks because we're going to be mentioning that light, and this evening. And God is love, which we'll be looking at that when we get to chapter 4 and before. Well, that was good. Get to chapter 4 and before. Boy, I'm a poet and I don't even know it. My feet don't show it. They're Longfellows. Oh, well, yeah. As my kids would say, cut with the dad jokes, Dad. Yeah. So as we look at this, we must realize that all of these stress really the immateriality of God, the really, as one man put it, the godness of God. God in his essence. Light emphasizes the splendor of God's glory, the truthfulness of God and his purity. In fact, certain Old Testament ideas dominate the Christian concept of light. As a description of God, light stresses the self-communicative nature of God. It's his nature to impart himself. He's without limit. It stresses the action of God for man and for his salvation. In fact, the psalmist catches this with utterances in Psalm 36:9, where he says, in your light we see light. And in Psalm 27:1, which is very familiar to many of us, is the Lord is my light and my salvation. In Psalm 1 John 1:9, he talks about that confessing, or I should say in John chapter 1, verse 9, it expounds that light also assents God's activity, empowered activity. So God as light is not only shines downward for man's salvation, but he enables him to walk in light because he is the light. Remember what I said earlier? When you are in Christ, you get everything that what? That Christ is. So as a true believer, this is an evidence. You need to be walking as children of light. What does that walk look like? Well, you'll have to come back tonight to find out. And so we see that that Scripture tells us that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life in John 8:12. Paul even exhorted believers to live as children of light. Light, then, is really the presence of God's grace. So light defines the mode of human existence. If men turn from the light or love darkness rather than light, it's because their what? Deeds are evil. One man by the name of Dodd said this, that Christians believing in a God of pure goodness accept the obligation to be good like him. So here in verse 5, he reveals God's essence in that short statement where he says, God is light. Notice, God is not a light among many other lights. God is not a light among many other lights. There is one God and only one God, and there's none other besides me, he declares, and we know as true. He is not a light bearer. God does not have light as one of his characteristics. Hard for us to understand this, isn't it? It's not one of his characteristics. What's it say here? He what? Is light. Although he created light in Genesis 1:3. And how could he create light? Because he is light. What scripture say? It says that he is good. He does good because he is good. And so he is light, although he created light. He himself is uncreated light. It's always been, always will be. The light of God is the visible Jesus Christ, because now Jesus is manifested in the flesh. God is manifested in the flesh through Jesus Christ, his very Son. And he says in chapter 8 of John in verse 12, I am the what? The light of the world. He's always been that light. You see, into a sin-darkened world came Jesus Christ as the light that shines in darkness. John 1:5. The true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Unless that light has come and shown your dark ways, and you've repented of those dark ways, and ask him as your Lord and personal Savior, you are still walking in the dark. You might have knowledge about the light, but unless you put your faith and trust in him, you're walking in the dark. In fact, by claiming to be the light of the world, Jesus was clearly claiming to be God and to be the Messiah, who was God sent to light to the nations, Isaiah 42:6 and 49:6 and Malachi 4:2. You see, Jesus Christ alone brings the light of salvation to a sin-cursed world. To the darkness of falsehood, he's the light of truth. To the darkness of ignorance, he's the light of wisdom. To the darkness of sin, he's the light of holiness. And as one man went on to say, to the darkness of sorrow, he's the light of joy. Into the darkness of death, he'd be the light of what? Life. You see, a man's own character will necessarily be determined by the character of God of whom he worships. The kind of God you worship, what is God to you, your priority that you worship, that will be manifest in your very character, because you'll do things accordingly. So what is it that you worship? The true God who is light? Or the gods of this world who is dark? A man's own character will be determined by that. So what does the statement tell us about God, that he is light? Well, it tells us that he's the splendor and glory. To say that God is light tells us of his sure splendor. It tells us that God is self-revealing. He wishes to be seen and be known by men. Think of that. He wishes to be seen and known by men. It tells of God's purity and holiness. There's none of the darkness which cloaks hidden evil in God. He is light, speaks to us as white purity and stainless holiness. It tells us of the guidance of God, To say that God is light is to say that he offers his guidance for the footsteps of men. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he is the word, and the word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of Father, full of grace and truth. It tells us that he is light. It tells us of the guidance of God. It tells us of the revealing quality of this very presence, because it reveals his very presence and his person. So we realize the fundamental principle truths about he being light is the truth of God, and it links it with the virtue and moral character of God. For it says, ye were formerly darkness, but now you are light of the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in goodness and righteousness and truth. These two essential properties of divine light and life are crucial in distinguishing genuine faith from counterfeit claims. We have to be devoted to truth and to righteousness as an evidence of our salvation. Now let me just try to, before we go any further, just try to get us to think a little bit about this light and darkness. As I was studying this week, I sat back, looked out the window. Well, the corner of the window, because I didn't want to pull the drapes up. And I looked out, and I just started thinking about light versus darkness. No wonder God is light. It just parallels everything else with truth in Scripture. Think of light, the nature of light. Can you overcome light with darkness? You can't. Try. I dare you. Can you overcome darkness with light? Yeah. I thought of it this way, for my weird thinking, okay? I thought of two boxes, completely tight. This one, completely tight. All dark, right together, and the inside wall of the two boxes, it's the same wall that connects the two rooms. And the other room is completely light. And so I go and put a nice little hole, a little drill into that wall. Does the dark room become light, or does the light room become dark? Yeah. And the more I keep drilling holes, the more what happens? The more you study, the more you let the light in, because he is light, the more light. He's light. And he compares darkness to our sin. And it's the darkness of the world where he's translated. The Bible tells us he's translated us from the darkness to the kingdom of light. He's light. The light of the world is Jesus. Whoever you talk to. You as a children of light should be showing light unto that person. How many times have you had come to you and someone say something because they know the countenance about you or know about you? This last week, as you know, and might be my last time, but I enjoy for my day off to go golfing. And I usually go out there myself and get it done quick and come back. But this time, of course, it's getting colder in the morning. So we started and it was like 47 degrees to 50 degrees, you know. And we started, but there was two other guys that were singles or whatever, and they went together and they asked, do you want to come with us? We were the first ones out. And I said, sure. I didn't get to the first tee, but the one man by the name of Ron said to me, "And what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm a landscaper." No, I said, I tell people how bad they are. I said, I'm a pastor. I pastor at Colchester Bible Baptist Church. He was from Lyme. He was from Lyme. You know what the next words out of his mouth were? He turned to the other guy and said, "We've got to watch our mouth today." Why was that? Light showed to dark. If they were light, those words never would have come out of them. They didn't even know me yet, but they knew by reputation, okay, whoops. Because God has given us all a conscience, remember? Romans 1:20. Romans 2:14, 15. Folks, He is the light of the world. And that manifestation is a godlike. We must have a godlike desire for and continual striving towards heavenly truth and righteousness, because in Him there's no darkness. If truth and righteousness are absent from one's life, that person, no matter what he is or says or does not possess eternal life. That's his nature. That's God's nature. And He wants you to be that light on a hill. Did you know can you put a bushel on it? No. The light might flicker out, the fire might flicker out, because men love what? Darkness rather than light. Why did this week you were tempted, and I'm going to break something to you this week. I feel bad. I know you're all going to get me. Not going to like me. But this week when you sinned, for every one of you sinned this week. Well, where did I sin? Well, right now you're questioning yourself that you sinned. There's a pride in your life. I got you. We sin. And there's the piety that says, "Well, I would never do that." When you sinned this week, there was that conviction of the Holy Spirit that came into your life that brought light back into your life. Because a man cannot live continually in darkness and be saved. There has to be light. Why? Because we are in Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am in Christ. Just as it says up there, look what we last week, it says, we have seen with our own eyes, we've handled, verse 3, that we have seen and have declared unto you, that ye also may fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You should be sitting there today wonderful about knowing that He's light and He's made you children of light. You don't have to live forever in darkness. And you can have a relationship with the very light because He gives you light. Because there is absolutely no way that God can fellowship with dark, because there's no darkness at all in God. None. That's why that dark room has to turn light when light comes in. And so, the norm of Him, of God, of Jesus Christ, in Him there's no darkness at all. As one commentator said, light produces life and growth and beauty, but sin is darkness. And darkness and light cannot exist in the same place. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area where sin is concerned. Remember, how many times you say, well, there's that gray area. There's no gray area. God does know. And we've got to find out as we look in Scripture, okay, what is the light? And when we say the glory of God, that seeming appearance of God, that is the exhibited excellence of the very person of his Christ-likeness as we show the right opinion of God. And that's light. You see, darkness stands for the very opposite of the Christian life. Darkness has no place in God. So all that is of darkness is excluded from having fellowship with God. You can't have fellowship with him and living in sin. When you and I decide to love that thing more than God, we get angry and we lose it. When we decide to do that, until we ask and confess and look at it the way God looks at it, that's dark, and he has no fellowship with darkness. So I got to get back, get it cleaned up. And the blood of Christ, what's it say? Cleanses us from all sin. He's done it. I mean, how many times would you stay with someone that keeps going against you, keeps sinning against you, or keeps doing something against you? How many times would you? Once. And how many times a day do you think of yourself over someone else? You know, there's times... Folks, I'm going to confess. I know you're not my priest. I'm going to confess. There are times where I'm preaching, and I'll see, well, that is a good point. That is true. Man, I said that. And right when I say, and I said that, and I go, the Spirit of God convicts me. While I'm preaching to you, I'm asking God to forgive me. Because he's light. And in him, there's no darkness. You see, darkness stands for the very opposite of the Christian life. Darkness stands for a Christless life. It represents a life that a man lived before he met Christ. In 1 John 2:8, now that Christ has come, the darkness is past and true light shines. And we see that God has delivered us from the power of darkness as we are children of the day. God has called the Christians out of darkness into his marvelous light. So why would we want a fellowship with something that's not God? It's not what he is. That's who you are. So why are we being something we're not? So darkness stands for the Christian life. The dark is hostile to the light. The dark and the light are natural enemies. The Bible says in John 1, 4, and 5, in him was life, and in the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Dark is hostile to light. Darkness stands for the ignorance of life apart from Christ. You see, that dark stands for the essential lostness of life without Christ. The darkness stands for the chaos of life without God. You see, he commanded his light to shine out of darkness. Without God's light, the world is a chaos in which life is neither order or any kind of sense. Darkness stands for the immorality of the Christian life. Paul appeals to men that they should cast off the works of darkness because their deeds are evil. And men love darkness rather than light. So the darkness stands for the way the Christian life is filled with things which seek the shadows because they cannot stand the light. Darkness is characteristically unfruitful. He talks about the unfruitful works of darkness. For the darkness is the Christ-like atmosphere in which no fruit of the Spirit will ever grow. Will ever grow. Have you ever, when you're little, you're in your class, and the first you learn, and they go to science, and they're putting a plant out by the window, and they show how the light comes in, and it grows, and the other side has a problem. Doesn't that just match us? When the light shines in our life, praise the Lord, when the dark is there and we're being influenced by the dark, we have a problem. You see, the darkness stands for in chaos of life without God. Darkness is characters unfruitfulness. For love, darkness is connected with lovelessness and hate. For love is sunshine and hatred is the dark, we see in 1 John 2, 9 through 11. The dark is the mode of the enemy, is the abode of the enemies of Christ and the final goal of those who will not accept him. We struggle against the hostile rulers of what? We struggle against the rulers of darkness. But Christ is the fundamental source of the world's illumination. So let me close with this, with these verses. Would you just listen and let the Word of God penetrate? There is no light apart from a right relationship with him. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness, absolutely none, impossible. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, harmless, the sons of God, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. For he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. Now, has the word of God penetrated your soul this morning? If it hasn't, you haven't been concentrating what I just read, because God's promised that to happen. So if it didn't penetrate you as a believer, you were daydreaming, you were thinking about something else. See, we've already sinned. He's the light, and in him is no darkness. And because of that, he has shown on me my wickedness. And as a lad in 1962, I realized I was lost. And I went and found my mother. My dad was out after his preaching, and he was dealing with some people in their life for Christ. And I went and found my mom, and I said, Mom, I need to get saved. The light was there. I need to accept, receive that light. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And with my whole heart, I believe that's when I received Jesus Christ, my Lord and personal Savior, when I was 7. Did I struggle? Sure. Because the darkness is always fighting, even though I'm light. But the light wins. The problem is, I let too much darkness in, that's why I have my problems. Because I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, on the authority of God's word, the light does win. You're going to be struggling until God takes you home. All of us are dying. May I just share something with you this last week that the speaker was saying, and he put a little video on the screen. But he was saying that all of us as pastors, all of us are interim pastors. We're just here. We're going to die. I hate to break that to you, but you're going to die. Although I hate to break it to you, Unless the Lord tarries his coming, you're going to die. And he's talking about the church. And you're going to get older, and there's going to be someone else that's going to come. So how are you going to leave that church? How are you going to do? How are you make sure it's light? And it was a wonderful illustration. And the speaker was very good in the piano, and someone who was there was, but I'm talking about the video, not the guy that showed it. He couldn't play the piano. But he went up behind the piano, and he had another guy come up, and he says, I'm going to play something. I want you to come up and start playing a song. And I want you to play a song, and after you play a few measures or lines or two, I want you to then slide off the bench. And when you're starting to slide off the bench, I'm going to come on the other side of the bench and take up that same thing, and I'm going to start playing the piano. And so I forget the song they was playing. Boy, they were good pianists too, I tell you. But they started playing. And he goes like that, and the other guy comes and pushes him over, and the guy keeps playing the same song and goes out, and the other guy played the same song and not missed a beat. Kept playing and playing. That guy goes around, comes over here, playing the song, and then they even get better. You know, they're getting bouncing on it and doing different arrangements. And the guy comes and picks up the same arrangement and how he's doing it. He comes and goes off and gets off. And then the guy comes around again, and they go together, and they ended up the song sitting on the bench together. I couldn't help to think. I should say, now I can't help to think. That's glory. When I'm on the bench with my Savior. And honestly, as long as there is preaching of truth here, exposition of God's word, striving to see souls saved and discipling people, loving people, showing that we are a lighthouse in this community. It doesn't matter who's up here as long as they're doing that and you're doing that. That we might obey the light. For one guy's playing the piano, another gets off. And it's the same thing with service. Someone's playing. Let's use another example at home. God took an adult Sunday school teacher away from us by the name of Ralph. He was on that piano. And he sipped off on the other side. By discernment, we had Dave Bergen for just a little bit, maybe a year, half a year. He's playing the piano, and he got off, and now we have Dan Wilson. And I can't wait till he gets off that piano. No, I'm teasing. Please understand, we love him. What an answer of prayer. And because of all of that, then another goes off. And sometimes maybe they're not playing the piano real well. And someone comes on that plays the piano a little better. And we see Justin and Monica in for the youth, playing the piano. And I want to tell you right now, in the 16 and a half years that I've been here, as far as our Sunday school teachers, from the children all the way up through the adults, in my 16 and a half years, we've never been in a better state. And I'd like, as Paul said, and I'd like to say I know what I'm talking about after 40 years of ministry. But there's a lot for us to do. There's a lot of the keys on the piano. A lot. And I sense... I need to do so much better. We were regularly going to the fire department, having a meal. Haven't done it for 2 years. I say, shame on me. If this church today
ended? How long would it take this church, the town, to know we're gone? Or would they even know we're gone? We're the light of the world. The education department, all the schools, they're not the light of the world. Even the Christian schools aren't the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And those Christian schools, if they're being the proper Christian schools, should be showing some light. But we are meant to be in the middle of that, to show the light. In the middle of the police, boy, listen. To be a police officer today isn't the first thing kids want to be. You know that one that said to me, what do you do? And he says, we've got to watch your mouth. For 25 years, he was a police officer. I asked him, because it's calmed down a little, I asked him, are anything's better? He looked at me. It's tough. Need to pray for Greg. That he'll be a light. Different. God's put him there. Public schools, we have a couple in the public. God's put you there, light. Your businesses, light. Those that are struggling and you're striving at victory, light. We could go on and on through everybody here. Retired, you need to be seeking and looking. You're light. Because he is light. My wife's going to... We were at this one place quite a few years ago. And they were singing this song. Or maybe we were listening to the radio. Maybe it was on the radio or something. We were turned channel, whatever. And a song that came up. Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. Boom, 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 Jesus. And we joked and we laughed. But I couldn't help to think, as I was studying this week, guess what came to my mind? Not the boom, boom part. Jesus is the light. And I have the privilege of being in that family of light. And those of you that have put your faith in him have that same privilege. I like what, because we were talking about, you know, as you get older, what are you doing? And one man was saying, it's not ending or retiring, it's just moving to another place and carrying on what God has for you. Your retirement years should be the, as we call, quote, quote, retirement, should be the greatest years to be able to go forward and continue to do it. Serve Christ. Why? Because here's the message that we've heard from him. Who'd they hear from? Who'd they hear from? Christ. Who manifests God. And here's the message. In him, Jesus Christ, he is the light. But he is light. The light shows. But here he says, is the light. Is light. And in him there's no darkness. Now we can't do that second part because we're not God. And he's talking about God. And his perfect nature. But we are children of light. And he instructs us to walk as children of light. Until we go home. So that we can influence someone else coming and sitting next to us on the piano bench. And he comes off. We have needs. As my wife said to me yesterday as we were going, everybody in this church should be serving, doing something, finding something to do. And you can. You know, one of the things that I didn't mean to go on like this. I'm sorry. I guess we're stopping from preaching, but letting you know my heart. Because he's the light. And you know, God brought a family with kids into us that we've been praying for. And many of you have been so wonderfully serving down there, doing that, junior church. And right now, the ones down junior church are really mad at me, going long. Yeah. You know? But at the same time, last week, I asked for the privilege of fellowship that we'll share some of our guys with. Instead of taking the four guys, we'll share with some of the guys. If someone would take a couple guys. You know how many people came to me? Zero. An opportunity. And some of you couldn't, I understand. But did you even ask God? Did you even ask God, Lord, would that be good? That might be a good influence on us. That's part of fellowship. That's part of... Oh, wait a second. That might mean that there's something different I got to do and that will cramp my style. Please, you can think I'm scolding. Maybe part of it is, but it's not scolding in that way. Please understand, you folks are such a blessing to us. I want to be, when God's through with me, I'm not pastoring another place. This is it. I'll go help someone, but I can, you folks are, we love you. We thank God for you. But even this morning as I started preaching, I looked about and I said, we just need to love more people and see more people here because we love them. And you're not spiritual because you're big or you have a lot of numbers. That's not the point. The point is we're the light. And there's many things that we can do. In other words, all of us have gifts and the body's not working to its fullest until we're all using that in obedience to Him. Not just when it's convenient. We serve a wonderful Savior that there's no darkness. And He, because of His love for you, because He is love, says, come unto me, all your burden heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And we have the very power of God behind us. Because we're in Christ. And you know the trials that you're going through? I mentioned Steve Stadola. God's right there next to him, holding his hand, going through it, and he knows it. It didn't stop from happening. God allowed that. And there will be glory that's accomplished from it that already has been. Folks, this morning, you and I have to realize that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness. And as believers in Him, we want to have fellowship with Him. We are children of light, so we need to walk in that light. And He'll show us exactly what He wants, when He wants, sometimes later. Sometimes you wait. You do. But God is faithful. And He's promised you never to have anything happen to you that you're not able to bear. But with that temptation, we'll make a way of escape for you. Why? Because God's light. Faithful light, always light. Our dear Heavenly Father,